We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty expanse. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound and praise Him with harp and lyre. Praise Him with timbrel and dancing. Praise Him with stringed instruments and pipe. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, this morning we praise You. We thank You for giving us breath, and I pray that it would be our desire as individuals and as a body in Christ to use the life that You have given us in such a way that it brings You honor and glory. Father, would You be delighted in our presence this morning, but more than that, would we be delighted by knowing that we are in Your presence this morning. So give us ears to hear and eyes to see, a mind to discern, and a heart that's sensitive, Lord. And may we, at the end of this time, reflect Your image and not the image of the world nor of man. And would You be pleased with that? Would our life praise You today? Bless us, I ask, in Christ's name. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Good morning. My name is Ryan Loving, and I know that a number of you are checking me out as I'm checking you out right now. And you're thinking to yourself, who is this guy that Pastor brought to speak to us over the course of the next week? He looks like a terrorist. I've been racially profiled like that, dark skin, bushy eyebrows, big nose, Middle Eastern kind of look. Don't worry, I'm not here to terrorize you. My ancestry does go back to the Middle East, though. I'm actually a Jew. And so I like to refer to myself as a completed Jew because I have received Christ as my Lord and Savior and have identified Him as being the one that the Jews are waiting for. I am no longer in waiting. So I rejoice in that. My Christian background actually stems from the Independent Fundamental Baptist Church. Anybody from Florida here? Not living in Florida, but from Florida. You're a cracker by birth. Okay, look at that. Less than 10% of the people in here are crackers. And I actually resided here in Florida, actually about an hour just south, depending upon how fast or slow you drive, it might be a little bit longer than that, in a community called Sarasota. And it was January of 1994 when our pastor invited a group of individuals called Life Action to come to our church. I didn't know what to expect, to be quite honest with you. All I knew is that he was bringing this team and they were going to be in our church, not for the Sunday service, not for 4 days, a Sunday through Wednesday service, but they were going to be in our church 3 weeks. And they were going to be conducting services night after night after night after night after night after night. And then they were going to have a Saturday thing, and then they were going to come back on Sunday. And I thought to myself when I heard this, is my pastor nuts? Now, some of you might be thinking that of your own pastor. What is he, crazy to schedule a Sunday through Wednesday? That's kind of archaic. But when I went to church that first Sunday in January of 1994, when this team came to our church, it was the beginning of a deep work that God was going to do in my life that I had no idea was about to take place. I was a businessman in my community. I was in the jewelry business. That's a good business for a Jew to be in. You're laughing, but let me tell you why it's a good business for a Jew to be in. How do you spell jewelry? Just start with the first three letters, J-E-W, and you'll understand, jewelry. But I was a father. My wife and I had been married. We had a couple children. I was running a business. I was a small group leader in our church. I was a Sunday school teacher in our church. And I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to come Sunday morning, I'm going to come Sunday night, and I'm going to come Wednesday because that's what good Baptists do. But the rest of the week, I don't have time. And God, that Sunday morning, through the messenger delivering the message, pierced my heart and my mind in such a way that I could not but come. And let me just share with you this. Here's what God revealed to me. He revealed to me as he saw me. You want to know what he revealed to me? That I was an inch deep in my intimacy with the lover of my soul. And I was a mile wide in my love affair with everything that the world had to offer. And the Lord convicted me. And I was confronted with this question. When was the last time I took and spent an extended period of time with God? Where, you know what, I would put everything aside. The football and the programmings and the computer and the games and life. And not that it stops, but I would figure that God would be able to give me the ability to manage it. And I would focus on the Lord. See, our desire is that in our time together, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we would step out of the traffic. If I were to ask how many of you here, even a number of you who are retired, are busy, overwhelmingly everybody would raise their hand. Oh, man, am I busy. The tyranny of the urgent has got a hold of me. And I really don't have time for this. I would encourage you. Don't worry about Monday. Don't worry about Tuesday, and don't worry about Wednesday. Would you just worry about maybe being engaged here this morning and coming back tonight and let the Lord just speak to you? I get the privilege to do ministry with a wonderful group of people. One of the individuals that I want to invite up here and introduce herself is my wife. Honey, why don't you come on up here? So if you hear me refer to my wife or somebody as honey, it's her, okay? Sweetheart, darling, love. This is my wife, Mary Ann. We've been married for 27 years. I know I don't look that old. We have 6 kids, and we've been a part of this ministry for over 20 years. We live in a fifth-wheel trailer.
There's 7 in that picture.
Well, I'll let you explain where we picked up another one on the way. But we live in a fifth-wheel trailer. We travel 9 months out of the year. We're roaming Jews, roaming gypsies. You know, my people didn't stay in one place for long, so we kind of carried that on. But why don't you introduce our family, babe?
We do have 6 children, ranging in age from 25 to 13, and some of them are on the team, and they'll introduce themselves later tonight. But on the far left is our 16-year-old, Krista, 15, actually. Margo's our oldest, second from the left, and third from the left is our new son-in-law, Christopher Komatsu. He and my daughter Shauna, right next to him, fourth from the left, got married July 4th of this past year, and we're so excited to have him.
You notice his name doesn't sound Jewish. He's Japanese. We had quite a wedding. It was rabbis and samurais. Kosher sushi.
Oh, you're hilarious. You'll meet them. On to the far right is Samuel. We have 2 still in high school, 2 in college, 1 about to head into college. So pray for us. So got a lot going on right now, as you can imagine, in our family. Chris is actually from Maui, and so I guess that's not a bad place to have grandkids, right? So we'll get out there sometime, right?
We'll see.
Yeah. So they're in Maui right now. They're coming home Thursday. They're having Christmas with his family and just having a ball. But ladies, I want to take just a minute and invite you to our True Woman Ladies Luncheon that we are hosting for you this coming Tuesday from 11:30 to 1 here on the property. We have childcare available, so moms that have younger kids, you won't have to cut anyone's food. You can just come, and our team's going to serve you. We have a homeschool study hall for homeschoolers if you have them. If you're working and you got to slip out from work, just come when you can and leave when you must. It's okay if you slip in late or slip out early. That is totally fine. We're going to dig into God's Word. We're going to gather as daughters of the King. Do you know what that makes us? Princess. So we're going to gather as daughters of the King. We're going to dig into the Word of God, and I'm just going to share with you a little bit out of my life how God took a dead heart and brought it to life. And I'm excited about that. So this coming Tuesday, 11:30 to 1, if you've already signed up, don't sign up again. But if you haven't, there's a sign-up sheet out at our Life Action Resource Center. So we'll look forward to seeing you ladies on Tuesday. And come ready to be encouraged. I know I always am, even though I share. Sarah and I are just excited to have you. So see you on Tuesday.
Thank you, honey. Do me a favor. If you don't have – yes, thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. You're giving that to her. I thought you were plotting for me. If you don't have a handout, would you do me a favor? Raise your hand. The ushers are just going to come down the aisles. And the reason why I want you to have this handout is really it's just an outline for where we're going in our days together. And it's very imperative. People have their hands up, so a couple of you ushers, there's some over here. But if you just open that up to the very front, I want you to look at one thing that is on the opening front page there. And it's a quote that we really embrace as a ministry. It simply says this: when we are humble, obedient, and teachable in the presence of the Lord, He will quench our thirst and He will refresh our lives. Another way that I like to look at it is if we will be hot, not just hot like, oh, it's hot and humid, but if we would be hot, humble, obedient, and teachable, God is going to saturate us with His presence and refresh us. And just so we're working together to being refreshed, I want you to know that the guy who stands before you is not a professional and he's not an expert. I'm a candidate. I'm like you. I'm an individual who is seeking God to do a fresh work in my life. And if you just look at the opposite page, this is our prayer and has been our prayer. Prayerfully, we will seek God together. Here's the beautiful thing. I believe that much can be accomplished in these days, in this community, through this church, when we gather together. I've never seen an empty chair revived, but I have seen occupied chairs with individuals, married couples, families, young, old, male, female, experience a renewed intimacy with the lover of their soul when they unite together. And prayerfully, together as we seek God, truth and hope will be proclaimed, lives will be transformed, families will be strengthened, and the church will experience spiritual renewal and an increased passion for the Great Commission. I would love to see the Great Commission fulfilled through this church and this community. And we're supposed to be doing that. If you just turn over to page 5, there's one other thing that I want you to look at. It simply says, we will. And I'm going to go through these real quick. We will promote the Lord Jesus Christ and not Life Action Ministries. I'll be honest, if you forget my name by the time that we're done in these days, I will not be offended. Because I'm nothing. I'm nothing more than the mouthpiece that the Lord brought before you to communicate the truth of His Word. We will serve and support your church. We believe in the local church. We will focus on people who are here and not simply on numbers. We will not attempt to manipulate or manufacture revival. We will conduct substantive biblical services. We will seek what God can do and not what man can produce. We will look and pray for a long-term change and not just immediate results. And we will cultivate an atmosphere that is conducive to obedience and not pressure people through extended invitations. And we will focus more on the inward change than outward responses. And we will believe God with you for genuine revival. So I just want us to be on the same page together. And you would know our heart. One of the things that we're very intentional on doing is ministering to the kids, and we have something called the Children's Clubs. Give your attention to the screen. We have a group called Happy Heart City, which is 4- and 5-year-olds. They're meeting each night and even this morning. And then we also have a group called Base Camp, which is 1st through 5th grade. Those two team or groups will be meeting. Base Camp will be meeting in the 5th grade room, and Happy Heart City will be meeting in the preschool room. There's a check-in system, so when you go there, just fill out. You'll get a little sticky note that will stay with your child, and one will stay with you. And when you go back to get your child tonight, because we have children's ministers in there who aren't familiar with you, we want to make sure that a proper exchange is made, that the right child gets with the right parent. So take your sticky note back to go get your child. And if you lose it, no, we won't keep them. We'll just find somebody that can help us marry that child to the right family. And so tonight when you come in, you'll have opportunity to make sure that your children are in the children's clubs. And then as we gather together each night, they'll come in for corporate time of worship. There'll be a slide that'll say children dismissed. They'll go out the back doors. You don't need to go with them as parents. And then the kids will go off to clubs. And I think I even heard word this week, as we've been a ministry for 45 years, it's hard to believe, we were founded by a pastor out of St. Petersburg, Florida, 45 years ago by the name of Del Faisenfeld Jr., who had a heart for ministering to the church, to people, to families, to couples. His legacy still lives on, and we're doing this. But I heard word this week that there was a child in one of our children's clubs years and years ago whose life was so deeply impacted that today they're walking with the Lord as an adult. Don't undermine or discount what God wants to do. And as a matter of fact, some of you are going to be dragged back by your children, and it should be the other way around, you leading them. So that dismissal sign will come up. I'm just going to ask Pastor to come up. He's going to share any other announcements, and then I'll come in and lead after one team song our major word this morning. Pastor Todd, thank you for letting us be here, brother.
Amen. Can we thank Ryan? He's done a great job with his team. And let me invite our ushers, if they would, to come at this time. And we're going to receive our offering. If you are a guest, I just want to tell you how grateful I am that you've chosen to come. You've picked a great Sunday to come, let me tell you. And we're glad you're here. When you came in, you should have received a church bulletin along with some information from Life Action Ministries. And to our guests, take a moment, familiarize yourself with our bulletin. There is a connection card inside of that. We would love to connect with you and reach out to you and get to know you a little better. So when service is over, fill out that card, turn it into our welcome center out there as you leave in the foyer. We have a free gift that is waiting just for you, so please don't forget to do that today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity to give. We know that giving is an act and a part of our worship to you. And so, Lord, as we receive this offering, may it come from our hearts. May we be generous, gracious givers in Christ's name. Amen.
You are the treasure.
ahead and dismiss. And the songs to that, or the lyrics to that song, speak volumes. You breathe on me, you revive me. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the New Testament, to the Gospel of John, to the 4th chapter. You'll get an opportunity to meet the team personally tonight when they introduce themselves. We travel with over a dozen and a half college-age guys and gals who have committed to serve the Lord for at least a year, and it's neat to do life with them and to be around them and see their passion for the things of the Lord. So I hope you'll come back and meet them tonight. The Scripture says this, "To whomever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterances of God. To whomever serves, let him serve with the strength which God supplies." Why? So that in all things God may be glorified. What is important is not what I have to say, but what God's Word says. In John chapter 4, verse 7, we see that this is the first personal occasion when Jesus actually reveals to an individual his messiahship. I think it's very important that we give attention. Jesus has been traveling throughout the region. He's been doing extraordinary things in an extraordinary way. He has now come into an area on the back end of a long journey. He's actually weary. Yes, the Son of God, being man, was weary. And he comes to a place where he decides to refresh himself, sends his disciples away, and we'll pick up reading in verse 7. "There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink.' For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman therefore said to him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.' Jesus answered and said to her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.' She said to him, 'Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle?' Jesus answered and said to her, 'Everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water, springing up to eternal life.' The woman said to him, 'Sir, give me this water so that I will never be thirsty, nor come all the way here to draw.' And he said to her, 'Go, call your husbands and come here.' The woman answered and said, 'I have no husbands.' And Jesus said to her, 'You have well said, I have no husbands, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. This you have said truly.' Now the woman said to him, 'Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship.' Jesus said to her, 'Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. You worship that which you do not know. We worship that which we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship must worship him in spirit and in truth.' The woman said to him, 'I know the Messiah is coming, he who is called the Christ. When that one comes, he will declare all things to us. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. He declared his messiahship to this woman. No one else at this point in time had he ever done that to, not even his disciples. I who speak to you am he. And at this point, his disciples came and they marveled that he had been speaking with a woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek or why do you speak with her? So the woman left her water pot, went into the city and said to the men, come see a man who told me all the things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is it? And they went out to the city and were coming to him. A revived life has great capacity to impact its community in ways that we could never imagine. Have you ever met somebody who was just full of life? The Hebrew word for spirit is ruach, and that Hebrew word denotes the inner being. Have you ever met somebody just full of charisma, just passionate, zeal, and all of a sudden you're drawn to them, and you may not even know what it is that they're really excited about, but you're excited because they're excited, and like you're just like, yes, let's go do whatever it is that we're going to do. I want to do it with you. I think people in church ought to get excited. I believe that far too many people in church look more like Eeyore. Some of you are a little off. You don't know who I'm referring to. Winnie the Pooh, you remember Eeyore? Woe's me, woe's me. I don't know what to do. And we walk around with this long face and this hardcore countenance and this drawn-in look. And you look like you just sucked on a sour pickle. You want to say amen, and people are like, amen. You know who we ought to look more like? Tigger. Tigger. Cat had a spring in his tail, jumping all around, bouncing all around. Now, I'm not saying we need to be crazy, but there was a sense in which there was a vibrancy about his life that was contagious. When people look at you, do they see a vibrancy in your life that is different? To the point where people would say, I want what it is that you want. See, this woman encountered Jesus, and she went back to her place where she did life, and people knew that she had an encounter with Jesus, and she brought them along, and they came back to Jesus. Now, we begin this passage looking at Jesus being thirsty. But the reality of it is that this woman who was drawing the water in the routine of her life, just going through day after day after day, was actually thirsty. And she maybe didn't even recognize her real thirst. Thirst is a passion. It's a desire or a craving or a longing. And you've got to satisfy that. I grew up on the other coast of Florida, Pompano Beach. I attended a school there called Highlands Christian Academy, which was a part of a church called Pompano Baptist Temple. And it was part of the network of churches that this church has been a part of. And I was on the soccer team there. And I'm not much of an athlete. People look at me and they see how tall I am and they go, oh, did you play basketball? It's like me looking at a short person and saying, oh, did you ride horses as a jockey? Why do you always make the assumption that because people are tall, they play basketball? God did not give me coordination. I don't have that thing to be able to do and to do this and to do this. I'd trip all over the court. But, and besides, how many famous Jewish athletes do you know? They own the teams. They just don't play the sport. But I joined the soccer team, and while I was playing soccer, and I wasn't very good at it, the coach thought that I could get better at it by running laps. And you know how hot it is here in Florida and humid, and I'm out there and I'm running laps, and you know what? I'm parched. I'm like cotton mouthed. I'm like, I need something to drink. And right across from our playing field was a 7-Eleven. And I thought to myself, coach will never know. And I snuck off the field and went over to the 7-Eleven and got myself something to quench my thirst. Although it wasn't really what was going to quench my thirst in the long run. It did momentarily. But it actually made me even thirstier. And it didn't help that when he caught me, I had to run 20 extra laps. But what are you thirsty for? Did you come here this morning thirsting? Or did you come here this morning to fulfill a religious obligation and duty? To just do something because it's been ingrained in you to do it, but really you're doing it, and in doing it, you really are here, and you really are looking forward to when you can get out of here so that you could do what it is that you really want to do, because what you really want to do is not be here. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? Because there are people who come to church like that every Sunday. I want to be here today because I long to be with my Lord. And I long to be with a community that longs to be with their Lord. And I've recognized this, that all that the world has to offer can't really satisfy my longing internally in my ruach, my spirit. And this woman was chasing things that wasn't satisfying her. And Jesus was going to be the one to meet her need. Now, if you have your booklet, turn with me, because I'm just going to walk through some notes here for you. And it'll just give us a little bit of direction where we're going to go, put some practical handles on what it is that we're going to be looking at this morning. See, God created you with a spiritual thirst that only He can satisfy. My brother was the first one to receive Christ as his Lord and Savior within our family. We were living in Las Vegas, Nevada at the time. My dad was food and beverage director for the MGM Grand Hotel. My brother was going to the University of Las Vegas. He was also a valet parker there. You know, not the most godly place to be living, kind of like a Sodom and Gomorrah. But isn't it crazy that God can find you no matter where you're at? And my brother had a big hole in his life that he was trying to fill. And he was trying to fill it. It was the hippie movement, the Jesus movement at the time, one of the last great mercy droppings of God's presence upon this land that I believe that we have experienced in our nation as some sort of a movement of revival. And so my brother would consume pot, and he would consume liquor, and he would consume the thing that the world had to offer, and nothing was filling that hole. And somebody introduced him to a book called The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey that spoke of the messiahship of Christ, and he read that. And then on the property of the MGM Grand Hotel pulled up this bus. It kind of looked like the Partridge Family's bus. Some of you from that era know what I'm talking about. It was an old school bus painted with bright colors, and on the side of it was this name, Jews for Jesus, and they were passing out literature. My brother grabbed one of the tracts and then went to one of the meetings, and my brother became a follower of Jesus Christ. Then my sister-in-law became a believer, and then my mother and father became a believer, and then my middle brother became a believer, and then my grandmother and grandfather became a believer. And then I became a believer because somebody was passionate about filling that hole with the right thing. Amen. Many of us are filling our holes with the wrong thing, and we're leading our family down the wrong path, and they're embracing a worldly value system. And then at the end of the journey, we're wondering, where did they get that temporal value system that really is lifeless, not full of life? And we say, oh, they must have gotten it from me. The scripture says in the Psalm, O God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. People, no political network or organization is going to meet our needs. No worldly possession is going to satisfy. No individual is going to come and be our all in all. As much as I love my wife was not given to me by God to meet my needs. Only God can meet my needs. My wife was given to me by the Lord as a means to actually grow me and mature me. What are you thirsting for? In the Bible, thirst can be representative of a desire for God. As I've been a part of this ministry, traveling from church to church over the course of the last 20 years, in hundreds of churches, there is a great dearth that exists. I was in one church. It was a campus that cost in excess of $25 million, and they had the nursery, and it went from nursery through the toddlers to the children's, to the youth, to the high school, to the college. It had all components of ministry. It also had a private school, and it was associated with a sister in college right in the community, and it had this big congregation. And I thought to myself, can you grow up in this context and yet not have a desire for God? And I asked a question of one of the leaders there. I said, how many of your kids have gone on to be in ministry? And he scratched his head, and he said, I don't know if any. And I thought to myself, you can take them from cradle to college and raise a kid that not have a desire for the things of the Lord and go on to minister. There is a dryness in our churches today where we as a church don't really pant as the deer pants for streams. The scripture says in Psalm 42, 1 through 2, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so my soul pants for you. Oh God, my soul thirsts for you, for the living God. I want you, God. I desire you, God. I need you, God. Do you kind of walk through your day with that mindset? I met my wife, Marianne, in Sarasota. She transferred down from Ohio. She was with a company there. We met at church there. And I observed her from a distance for a season of time, kind of like you do by stalking people on Facebook. And I asked her out on a date eventually, and after our first date, 6 weeks later, I proposed to her. 6 months later, we got married. 6 children later, we got together. Wait, no, 6 children later, here we are. We didn't get together after the children. But I remember after that first date, I'm not kidding. I wanted her. My first thought wasn't the most spiritual thought, being in church when I met her. It wasn't like, oh, I wonder if she knows all the books of the Bible, the major prophets, minor prophets. It was like, she's hot. Not humble, obedient, and teachable, like I said on the front end. Just, oh, she's smoking. I want her. I pursued her. I wooed her. I got her. But you know what? After 26 years of marriage, we've experienced some dryness in our marriage. Kind of like two ships in a channel of water in the midst of darkness. You see the bow. You see the light. You feel the effects of one another's wake, but you're not moored together. You're not tied together. You're drifting apart. And I've had to be intentional, and she's had to be intentional to make sure that our relationship stays healthy where we're pursuing one another. And the question is, are you pursuing God in the same passionate way? Or have you drifted from the lover of your soul? Are you just doing church? Are you more consumed and concerned with what the world has to offer? Many of us live there. See, our thirst is satisfied spiritually in seasons of revival. What is revival? Revival within an individual or a community is evident when the people of God have been saturated with the presence of God. When do we get saturated? When we really slow down. When we dive in. When we linger. When was the last time you lingered with the lover of your soul? You weren't looking at your watch saying, well, are we going to be able to get out of here to be the first ones in line to go grab the meal or catch the show, to hit the beach, to get on the boat, to make our tea time. Not this tea, you know that, but this tea. You see, we find our satisfaction, and it is obtained when one of two things happen. First of all, when we acknowledge our need before God. Dear people, you know who the most needy person is in this church? I'm going to identify him for you. It's me. If you didn't come to church this morning with a mindset to say, God, I need you, then you're not going to get him. You know when we usually need him? When the big five come to us. When there's financial hardship. God, I need you! When there's a wayward child. Lord, what is happening? When there's a health crisis. Oh God, please no! When a national catastrophe strikes. Lord, please heal our land! When there's death. Where were you? Shame on us. I had a pastor once tell me, Ryan, here's the shortest message I'm going to give you. Life is hard, it gets harder, and then you die. Wow, I'm very encouraged by that message. Thank you. I'll have to remember that one. Y'all, this life that we live is the passing lane to get us to where God wants us to be. And if we're so consumed with living in the passing lane, being here and now, and we're not willing to cry out to God for our everyday need. Lord, I need you. Lord, my heart is wandering. Lord, my eyes are wandering. Lord, my desires are lingering on the wrong thing. I need you, God. Then we will never experience revival. And you know who should be the trendsetters here? The oldest people. The oldest people ought to be the most neediest people. The people who don't have need are the most independent people. And we ought to be leading the way for the younger generation. And when we acknowledge our need and God reveals to us how he can meet our need, God wants us to respond to him in obedience. Obedience brings blessing, disobedience brings conflict, and God wants us to acknowledge our need, be obedient to what he shows us, and when he does, he will pour his presence upon us, he will refresh us, we will be saturated. In the book of Acts, the scripture says, repent and return to God. The church at one time used to be known as repenters. What a beautiful thing. Are you a repenter? People ask me, Ryan, why did you join this ministry? 25 years ago, living in Sarasota, my family was involved very heavily in our community. We owned 3 jewelry stores. We owned a chain of dry cleaners. We owned a florist. We owned a land development company. We were working on a couple subdivisions. We were going to church. We had our community. But you know what I really loved? I loved all that the world had to offer. That was my God. I wanted to drive the sports car, so I bought it. I thought I had arrived to a level of status when I hit Platinum American Express, got it. Had my face in the glossy magazines, had my commercials on the TV. Why would you walk away from it? Because that's what I did. I walked away from everything. I left my family. I left my friends. I left businesses. I left everything behind. You know why? Because I found that all of that was lacking. I found Jesus. Now, does it mean that you can't have those things and pursue Jesus? No, but what it meant for me is that I couldn't have those things and pursue Jesus because those things were my God. And so I've left it all. And I have no regret going back even within the last week to see some of those things and be around some of that family because many of those things and many of those family members are falling apart. God says times of refreshment will come when we are in the presence of the Lord. Repent and turn to me. So let's look at this woman. Thirst is a dryness in your soul that craves satisfaction. There's 3-4 things that I really just want to look at here with this encounter. Jesus engaged her. You know what Jesus wants to do in these days, dear people? He wants to engage us. Bottom line, somebody said to me, well, what kind of invitation are you going to have Are you a traditional Baptist? I said, I'm a traditional follower of Jesus, whatever that means. I am Baptist. I said, but here's the invitation. Jesus is saying, come. And it's not just to the front of the altar in one service. See, that's easy. You know what? That is actually very easy. If I were to come and pull you along and say, come on, come to the altar. Not that you shouldn't have altar calls, but that'd be easy. But here, I'm going to make the altar call a little bit more difficult. So, uh-oh, he's walking down on the ground now. If I spit on you, it's Jewish spittle. It's like it's been blessed. I'm still wandering, okay? Jews wander. The invitation is this. Would you come back tonight? And Monday night? And Tuesday night? And Wednesday night? Why wouldn't you come? Well, I'm good with Jesus. Oh, really? Why wouldn't you come? Why wouldn't you want to meet with the lover of your soul, saturate yourself with his presence, hear afresh the words that he has to say to you? Jesus engaged her. Jesus wants to call us to his presence to step away from all that the world has to offer. Oh, my kid's got this game. More important than Jesus? Oh, we made this commitment. Well, you've known this has been coming. Your pastor's been promoting it. Well, there's a game on tonight. Yeah, there's going to be a winner and a loser. Jesus confronted her. You know why many of us won't come back? Because we don't want to be confronted by Jesus. We don't want to be confronted by the truth of his word. We're quite satisfied with where we're at because he might reveal something to us that we don't want to give up. In this account, Jesus revealed himself to her. You know what? Many of you do not know truly the depth of who Christ is because you're not willing to allow him to confront you and engage you. Dear people, I'm going to say something, and I want to be very careful here because I don't want you to hear something that I'm not saying. Praying a prayer never saved a person. And there are too many people that believe that they're saved and they're really lost because they simply prayed a prayer. A theologian was asked, what would happen if genuine revival were to come to the Church of America today? And a man said, without even blinking an eye, tens of thousands of churchgoers would get radically saved. One man once said, I looked for the church, I found her in the world, I looked for the world, and I found her in the church. Mercy. Praying a prayer does not save you. You will not find it in Scripture. You know what the Scripture says? By faith, you are saved. Do you have faith in knowing the one that has called you? If your faith is waning, you're beginning to embrace a worldly value system, come to the Lord. Let him reveal himself to you afresh. See, Jesus, as he extended to this woman, is extending to us an opportunity, and that is to receive this gift. What's the gift? Refreshment. I look out on the faces of some of you. We laugh. I kind of make light, but you have to understand something. I've been ministering to people for decades. I'm not a novice in this. I can look out onto the faces of many of you, and the eyes are the windows to your soul, and I can read your soul. I'm not trying to be mystical about that, but you ever just look at somebody and say, well, you don't look good. What'd you do? You just read their countenance. You looked into their eyes. Many of us no longer look into the eyes of one another. We look past people, through people, around people. We don't want to stop. We don't want to engage. Why? Because it might cost us. And you know, if I have to engage with that person, it's going to cost me a whole lot. And I ain't willing to give that right now. But I can look into the eyes of many of you. And there's a longing and there's an emptiness and a hollowness and a shallowness. You've lost hope. You need healing. You're hurting. He wants to extend the gift to you. When revival comes, we come and we receive that free, life-giving, eternal gift called Jesus Christ. And it changes us to the point where we say, I want you, Lord. I want you. Quick question as we wrap things up. Is your life characterized by living water? Quick way to measure that. Just a couple questions here. There's parched people and then there's thirsty people. Parched people are usually people who are unapproachable. They're defensive. Those are people that need to be saturated with the presence of God. Thirsty people who have found their satisfaction are usually humble. They're receptive to what God has to say. Parched people are usually prone to cover up their sins. Thirsty people who have been satisfied, they acknowledge and confess their sins. Parched people are reluctant to admit their need. They're sitting here today and they're saying, you know what, I don't need this. Now, maybe you don't have your arms crossed, but what are you doing right now as you're sitting here as Jesus is extending an invitation? I don't need this. Humble people recognize their need. They seek help. This morning, my prayer on my knees was, God, I need your help. Because the fact of the matter is I can be every single one of those things on the proud side, unapproachable, defensive, want to cover up, reluctant to admit my need. I can tell you those things happened this past week in my life in the context of my community. But I can also tell you I'm standing here saturated with the presence of God because I addressed these things. And I'm okay now. People who are private, don't want to share Christ, they're usually parched people. This woman had an encounter that she couldn't keep to herself. And she went out and she went about and she shared Christ. So the question is, how thirsty are you? Are you unable to obtain sustained joy and peace? Yes or no? You answer the question. Are you easily irritated and defensive? You answer the question. Is your passion diminished for God and the things of God? You answer the question. But I'll tell you what, if you answered yes on any of them, then this is the right place for you and it's the right time for you because God wants to meet your needs. So here's how I'm going to close this morning. I'm going to give you a challenge to put your life in action. If any of us walk away from a Sunday morning message and we don't do anything with what we've heard, we've missed the purpose. This woman went away and she did something. Her life was in action. So here's your action point, all right, for your life to be in action. Will you choose to go to the Lord for the thirst-quenching refreshment that he offers? Closing verse simply says this, let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. Jesus is saying, come. Come. You stand with me.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.